You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
We're in 2 Samuel chapter 6. My message is, normally I build it, I try to build it with you in the introduction, but let me tell you right off the bat where we're going. We're going to verse number 7. The anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah. God smote him there for his error. And there he, here's our message, died by the ark of God. 15 times you'll find the ark mentioned in this text. The ark of God is described to us in Exodus chapter 35. It's not very large. It was one of the pieces of furniture that was in the Old Testament tabernacle when they would put the tent up and they would go from place to place and worship God. The showbread, all that was there, but the ark of the tabernacle was so very important. It was very small. It measured 3 3/4 inches long. It wasn't very big. It was 2 1/4 inches wide, and it was 2 1/4 inches high. Very, very small. Then the cherubims sat on top of it. Inside of that ark, and it was sort of like what we would call a communion table that we'll have here this Wednesday night. We have the Lord's table, but not that big. Inside of it, they would remove the cover off, the cherubims, and inside was the 2 tablets of the Old Testament law, the 10 commandments. Inside of it was the pot of manna that God fed the children of Israel for 40 years. Inside of it was Aaron's rod was there. And all 3 items were inside. But here's the thing. The Ark of the Covenant, don't miss this. This is our message right here. It represented the presence of God. Amen. The presence of God. And they had to move forward with the presence of God. That item was never to be touched by hands in moving. They were not to put it on a cart like they did. There was 4 round circles, and on all 4 corners, they'd put a stave, they put a rod through that, and a man on all 4 corners would lift that Ark of the presence of God. And they had to lift it, not touch it. They had to lift it and move it in place. It's a very sacred thing. It represented the presence of God. You know, the difficulty here is that Uzzah did it wrong. And he died by the presence of God. You're either growing in grace today or you're dying in the Lord. Right around all this that we have here in America, a New Testament church, a New Testament school, a New Testament college, a choir, all of it's here. And you're either growing in grace or you're dying in grace. I want us to see several thoughts about this today. And number one, I want to see in verse number 3, they were doing a good thing. They were doing a good thing in the wrong way. Look what he says in verse 3. And they set the ark of God on a new cart. Numbers chapter number 4, verse 15 says you don't put it on a cart. You always carry it. God has rules and regulations. The rule is salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. You don't get saved by the baptistry. You don't get saved through giving money. You don't get saved through good works. You don't get saved by turning over a new leaf. You don't get saved by becoming, I'm an alcoholic and I'm turning over a new leaf. You don't get saved by stopping drugs. You get saved when you realize you're on your way to hell and God alone can save you through Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. There are many in this room, and I all of that. Tom, I got to meet you afterwards. Tom, right back there behind Sandy's line. I see you all the time. I got to meet you afterwards. But I see you. I love you, folks. I love you dearly. I don't know if a pastor in America could love a people more than I've loved you for 50 years. But I'm going to tell you something. Some of you don't have a knowledge of salvation. If I ask you, how do you get to heaven? How would you actually answer that? Say, well, I come to church every Sunday morning. Oh, you're not saved then.
Right.
It's not coming to church that saves you. How are you saved? Well, Jesus died. He died for my sin. I know, but what about it? How are you saved? Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You're doing a right thing, a wrong way. You know, in our churches, I am so much old school. I'm for the old hymn book.
Amen.
I'm just for it. I'm for songs and hymns and spiritual songs, singing melodies and making praise to God. I'm not for all this new jazz stuff and jazz rock and sweet rock and sweet Christian rock. I'm not for it. I'm not for it. Other churches can do it. They have that right. We're into autonomous churches. They have the right to do church that way, but I'm not for that.
Yeah.
I'm for a choir.
Thank you.
Choir's in the Bible.
Thank you.
I'm for an orchestra. Orchestras are in the Bible. I'm for a pulpit. Pulpits are in the Bible. I'm for a preacher, a leather lung preacher. I'm for all that. I'm not for this new seminar type stuff. That may be okay for you. I don't know. But I tell you what, it's not okay for me. I don't want to do a right thing the wrong way. And God's word makes it very clear that they put it on a cart and they brought it out of the house of Abinadab. Abinadab's house was being blessed because they had the presence of God. How's your house doing? Do you have the presence of God? Please listen to me. Do you have the presence of God in your home? Do your children see my daddy is a man of God? My dad walks with God. My dad is trusting God. My dad loves God. My dad is surrendered to God. Do they see that in you, Dad? Do your children see that? They must see it. And if they don't see it, you need to get your kids together today and say, I want to confess something. I got out of bounds. I'm not a good example to you kids. And I love you kids with all my heart. And your upbringing means more to, hey, you could see your kids turn around for God if you just be honest with them.
Yeah.
You got ladies here. Ladies, you need to come to God and say, I had the presence of God in my life and I let God's presence leave. And I want to tell you something. Kids have been wrong. Children, your mama's been wrong. I've not been right before God. You're doing the right thing, but the wrong way. You have to do it God's way.
Amen.
I'm for worldwide missions today. Now, this is going to startle many of you because so much of the world's hungry, so much of the world's sick, but I'm for the New Testament way of doing missions.
Yeah.
Every city, every village needs a local New Testament local church.
Amen.
Every church.
Amen.
I thank God for doctors and they can do what they want to do with people of the world. Thank God for them. And they can get funds wherever they want it from the government, whatever they want. I thank God for people that go and feed people. That's not the purpose of the North Valley Baptist Church. Our purpose by God, Acts chapter 13, is to plant churches in every city. Titus chapter 1, and a preacher in every city. More important than medicine, more important than food, more important than clothing, more important than education, more important than training in business, is a New Testament local church. Yeah. Brother Fanera, you men were just, and Brother Flood, five of our men just came back from the Philippines, and we started these 400 churches in the Philippines. Our church paid the pastor's salary for a year and built him a building, and they're all gone. And those 400 churches started 200 more churches. And they've started Bible college. Now, it's just an amazing thing. But they got to one, they drove for hours, and then they walked, and they went in, and there's 200 people that live in that, what do you call it? Barangay.
Barangay?
It's a town. 200 people live there. But one of the churches you started, God's people here, you started it. Out of 200 people in the town, 80 go to church. Amen. That church.
Amen.
80 go to church. I tell you what, that's what missions is about.
Amen.
And you get missions and you get the heart change, and they'll be able to figure out how to put food on the table, and all that, all of it just falls into place.
Right.
I think of animals, and we don't have an animal. But I got cats that live all over my house. They think their nesting place is the roof of my house. I have to go up there about every 3 weeks, and normally I get an average of, I'm trying to be very gracious here, 16, what do you call it? Piles of stuff left from them. I'm trying to be appropriate in God's house here. I'm out of the pulpit, so I can say what I want. But I have to pick it up, and I have to hose it down, and I have to put soap and suds on it, and I try to drive them away. You know, you folks can love your cats. I have no Bible for this, but I don't like cats. I walked out this morning about 6 o'clock to take the garbage out. The sun was coming up, and there's a cat right by my garbage can. And it stopped, and I stopped. And I took a move, and I took another one, and it started crouching down, and I took another one, and then I went, shh. It jumped up the fence and just stayed there. I got a little bit closer, I did the shh again, and it ran away. I hate cats. I'm sorry, you love them, you can love them. I like dogs.
Yeah, amen.
I like horses. I like all of them.
Amen.
But you know, last year, we did not spend $1 million on our dogs and cats in America. We did not spend $100 million. We spent $130 billion. Billion. With the letter B, $1 billion on our animals. More than all churches combined for worldwide evangelism. And then we wonder why we're in a mess. The answer, the right way, is to do worldwide missions and here at home and ordain elders in every city. We're starting these churches, and one's having a hard time in East Palo Alto. We get just a handful of coming, but they're starting college, 10 college students up there, starting a chapel. We've got 10 over in Tracy today. That church building, it's an actual church building. It's going forward. They had 37 last week. I know that's not a lot, but that's a record number in the last 25 years for that church. And it's going forward, and it's going to, hopefully they'd be over 40, 45, and it's going. And we're going to start churches all up this, every city in the peninsulas, on the East Bay, on the West. Every city needs a New Testament local church. They did the right thing, but the wrong way. I want you to see, secondly, they studied the Ark of God, verse number 6. When they came to Nashon's threshing floor, watch it, here it is. Uzzah put forth his hand,
See, the ark of God, they took hold of it. The oxen shook it. That's against God's plan. God says you can't touch it. You put it in the States. You say, well, I don't agree with that. Well, then you can't agree with God on anything. You can't agree with God by salvation, by grace with God. Well, I think it's your Methodist church that gets, I think the Methodists get you. I think the Presbyterians get you. I think the Baptists get you to heaven. I think the Catholics put you to heaven. I think the Mormons put you to heaven. No, no, for by grace are you saved through faith. It's not of yourself. It's not of a denomination. It's of a Savior who loved you. And here's a man that did it, was doing the right thing, but he did it the wrong way. And consequently, God said, I'm going to have to take you out. Look at thirdly what we find here. He died. And there he died by the ark of God. Please picture this. Here's the ark of the covenant, the presence of God. Amen. And he died right by the presence of God. I've been here a long time. 50 years ago today, I preached my first message in this church. Do you know, Sunday morning we had 150 present. Our church was 5 months old, but 110 came on the buses and 40 came in the cars. Sunday night I had 22 people in church. That included nurseries, babysitting, all that. I had about 18 people in the house of God that night. Do you know that in 50 years, think of this, we have 29 bus routes that go all over the area. We've picked up nearly 1.6 million riders. We have had to replace every bus driver, every bus captain in 50 years. Everyone's been replaced. Many of them have died. Many of them left their bus route after a year or 5 or 10 or 15 or 20. And many left church, just quit. Do you know this is hard to believe? I've replaced every single Sunday school superintendent and every single Sunday school teacher in 50 years. You know this is hard to believe? We replaced every one, 100% of all choir members in the last 50 years. All were new today. Yes, some have died and they're in the presence of God. Many have quit. They were right here at the great North Valley Baptist Church.
Amen!
They heard the singing of the choir. They heard the singing of God's people. They heard sheltered in the arms of God. And how great thou art. And they sang those great hymns of the faith. And they used the old-fashioned altar. They were right here in the presence of God. They were that God's in this church today, friend. God is here. He's meeting with us today. And I want to say that you're sitting here and you're in the presence of God. But you're going to die in the presence of God too. Just away from God, because he never leaves you nor forsakes you. He's always with you.
Yes, sir.
I'm aware. I've been here a long time. I'm aware of my age. I knelt and prayed over here, and I do it every single service for the last 50 years today. I always pray before I come out, Lord, this could be my last message. I mean, Brother John Lavins didn't know last Sunday he was preaching he was going to go to the hospital and be in open heart surgery today. He didn't know that. I know one of these is going to be my last messages to preach. I want to be in the presence of God. I don't want to die. I want to live in the presence of God. I want it that he walks with me, he talks with me, and he tells me I'm his own. That's what I want for my life. I think of you precious, precious teenagers, young people. I don't know your home situation, bus kids, car crowd kids, but you're being raised by
good parents. I think of you kids that are in the Christian school. Your parents are working a job to pay for you to the Christian school.
Amen.
And the Christian school's a money loser. We're behind, we're every year, we're behind $250,000 right now. We should charge higher tuition than what we pay. We can't. The college is behind $325,000 right now. Everything I do loses money around here. Missions loses money. The bus ministry loses money. Everything we do loses money. But it's investment in God's kids.
Amen.
Hey kids, do you realize, teenagers, you are living in not a perfect home. You're trying to hold your mother, your dad into perfection. They're not perfect, but you're living in a good home. Someone's taking care of you.
Yes.
Someone's saying to it that you have food on your table and food in your stomach. Someone sees that you have a bed to sleep in. Someone sees it that you have a Christian school to attend. Someone's saying to it that you have clothes to wear. Someone loves you. But you're going to graduate from high school. 170 of our kids have gone, more than 170 have gone into full-time Christian service as pastors and missionaries and serving God. And thank God for that. But some of you are going to become drug addicts and drunks, and you're going to blame this church, and you're going to blame your parents on the things of God. Shame on you. You're dying in the presence of God, teenagers. Your life is coming to an end in the presence of God. I think today of America. I love America.
Amen.
We're going to celebrate 250 years on March the 1st, 2nd, 3rd, 4th, 5th here at Pastors and Workers Conference. 250 years of God's blessing. We are living in the greatest country in all the world.
Amen.
People are trying to get into this country. And yet, I hear such on my phone, I see the blasphemy of liberals and wicked people talking about how they don't need God. The problem, I saw one guy say the other way, the problem in America is Christians. This is a Christian nation, sir. Three times the Supreme Court says this is a Christian nation. Our coins and currency says, in God we trust. One nation under God. It's not under Muhammad. It's not under Muhammad. It's not under Confucius. It's under God. And when God is supreme in a nation, blessed is a nation whose God is the Lord. But well, we're dying.
Right.
November, we're an election away for anarchy in this country. To think the police are not respected. To think that the police and all these different agencies, they look down on them and they criticize. Governors and senators criticizing the police. We're in America, this great Christian nation, and we're looking down on our authorities and spitting in their face and throwing rocks and hurting them. Hey, I want to tell you something. We're dying. Right in the presence of God. I think today of our college. What a great place, Golden State Baptist College. You're in the presence of God. I think of your Sunday school class, your teachers that prepare the Word of God. And our teachers are phenomenal, from the youngest to the eldest. I think of our staff. I've got such a good staff. They love you. I think of our deacons. They love you. And we're all trying to get in the presence of God. But if we're not careful, verse number 7, he died. He died by the ark of God. Don't die. You're so close. You're so close. I watch Bible college students after a year, they quit.
I watched 75% of all college students in America, 75%, state universities, colleges, Christian schools, 75% quit before their senior year. Quit. 25% make it. We have higher numbers than that. But even though we have higher numbers, your freshman class doesn't take all the way through. They're in the presence of God where God can speak to them. They'll hear a godly man preach tomorrow. I wonder, will they listen? I wonder, will they say, God, speak to my heart? I know most of our college students are out serving the Lord this hour, and so many are not in here. But I wonder, will they listen? Will they say, I'm here in the presence of God? I'm here where this church is investing $300,000 to $400,000 in my life because they don't get enough tuition out of me. And I'm here in an air-conditioned room, a heated room. I'm here in heated buildings, in air-conditioned buildings. I'm here being taught by men and women of God that if they went to work at In-N-Out Burger, they'd make more than they making teaching me the Bible. Amen. You're in the presence of God. God's speaking to you. And you say, I don't have any. I'll do it my way. I'll move the ark my way. I'll do it my way. I'm not going to do it God's way. I trust that everyone today in this room will say, Lord, I want to do it your way.
Amen.
I want to do it your way. I want to follow you. Following Jesus ever day by day. Nothing can harm me when he leads the way. Sunshine or shadow, whatever befall, Jesus, my Savior, is my all in all. Follow him. Mama, do you have to use this altar today and get back following God? Daddy, do you? Teenager, do you? Pastor? Pastor, I'm talking to you, Jack Dreamer. I want to die in the presence of God. I don't want to just die because I did religious things and I just died. I want to be in God's presence. Our Father, I thank you for your word, the Bible. Please may it not have fallen on deaf ears. May we take inventory today, but by tomorrow may we review the message. May we think, I died by the ark. I don't want to die by the presence of God. I don't want to just sort of be in that presence, be in that religious environment. I want to embrace it. I want it to be part of my life. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Pastor, God's word is speaking to me today. God is speaking to me today as a husband, as a father, as a son, a daughter. God is speaking to me. Would you slip your hand up with no one looking? Slip your hand up all over the house, all over the house. God bless you. God bless you. Hundreds of hands. You may put them down. God bless you. Us kids, I don't know what kind of homes you have. It might be a difficult situation. Maybe you're going to have to be the one that lives for God and walks in the presence of God. I wonder how many are here without Christ. I need to get saved. Pray for me, Brother Jack. Pray for me, Brother Treber. Lift your hand. I need to be saved. I know I do. God bless you and you and you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Who else? I need to be saved up in the balcony. I need to get saved. Father, you see the hands of these people that need to get saved. May they get saved today. I pray for those that have a need in their heart and life. May they come and bring it, deposit it with you. I pray for the dad that needs to set his children down today, or his children or mother needs to set her children down today. So I've been wrong. I've been a wrong influence. Please forgive me. I'm going to start again. May every child give a parent a second chance. Every child, may they come and say, Lord, I've been wrong. Mom, I've been wrong. Dad, I've been wrong. I want to get right with God.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.